Welcome to Get Over It, Intuitive Transformation Radio for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a fabulous show. We have Rebecca Freedom McClaskey talking to us this evening, and she's going to be talking about breakup rehab, creating the love you want. So, you know, everybody's gone through a breakup at one point in their lives, you know, at least once, and sometimes some people go through it many times. But this book really helps you through the hills and the valleys so that you can come out more balanced at the end. So sit back and relax, get pen and paper, take some notes so that you can rehab that breakup. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But the real question is, are you really ready to? Now, by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. Excuse me. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. My clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. I'll get that out. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help you. To find out more about me and the services I offer, visit my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I do invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, from my website. And again, that's MoniqueChapman.com. Breakup rehab is the answer to all of the what-if questions that come after a breakup. Breakup rehab is the solution to the problem of overthinking everything and feeling overwhelmed by emotions after a breakup. Breakup rehab is the guiding hand that we all need after a breakup. And breakup rehab is something everyone can use to heal and move forward smarter, stronger, and more skilled in relationships. My guest this evening, Rebecca Freedom McClaskey, is the author of Breakup Rehab, Create the Love You Want, a relationship specialist with a master's degree in counseling and psychology. Her private practice focuses on helping clients get what they want out of life and love. And she is living in the Rancho Santa Fe area of California, and you can check her out online, and that is RebeccaFreedom.com, and let me spell that for you, RebeccaFreedom.com, and you can also check out her podcast, and that is Heard, Not Seen. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, it's so glad that you're here. I am so happy that you are here. What a wonderful book. As I was sharing with you right before we came on air, it's a book that helps in many areas, just not the actual breakup of a relationship, but it also helps with all areas in life. What is breakup rehab, and how did you come to write it?
It really does, like, there. I sneakily snuck in, like, the meaning of life into the book, into the 12 steps of breakup rehab. Mm-hmm. But breakup rehab really is a step-by-step system inspired by AA and the 12-step system to help people go through the challenges of breakup so that they can start over stronger.
Okay. So you said 12 steps, and when some people hear that, they go like, oh my goodness, another 12-step program, I don't even know if I want to do that. How does Breakup Rehab delve deep so that people can actually utilize the 12 steps but kind of move past it at the same time?
Great question. So as far as there's some people that really gravitate towards the 12 steps, and some people really expels them. They're not really into it. So essentially, what I did is with the training that I have as a mindfulness practitioner, as a counselor, also I'm also an intuitive and psychic. I really like melded those all together to take people through the journey, and it really is a journey of healing from the injury that's breakup. So it's like, yes, it's 12 steps, but it addresses really specifically, almost laser-like, the different phases we go through when we're going through a breakup, you know, how challenging it is to just lose somebody that you really loved.
Okay. What is the most important thing for a person going through a breakup? What is it that they really need to know?
If I could be my 100-year-old self and look back at me now with all the breakups that I have gone through, I'd be like, honey, don't worry. Don't you worry. God has got your back, you know? This is like, you may want it to look this way, and you've got all these desires, and they're pulling you in all different directions, but it's going to be okay. And that is what I would really tell people about their breakup, that in time, with enough time, patience, and practice, and working the steps, it's going to be okay.
Okay, so is that just the letting go of the physical hole that's in the gut, or is that really down at the soul level that everything is going to be okay?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So first and foremost, breakups are hard on the body. They're really hard on the body. Like, they screw up your appetite, your sleep cycle, you're stressed out all the time. And because they're hard on the body, the mind is working overtime to try to, like, keep the body safe. It's like thinking about the solutions. Well, if I just talk to that person one more time, or maybe if I go back, or if we get together, or if we go to counseling, or if I try to fix it, or if I try to change it, or if maybe I change myself. So that's the body level that things are happening, just trying to stay, you know, alive and survive. At the soul level, this is where the book really takes you, is to dig down into that soul level, into the ground of being a little bit more curious about, you know, the lessons the relationship is giving you. Like, what are you supposed to learn? What is the gift here in this breakup? What was the gift in the relationship?
Do you find with working with your clientele that people tend to experience the same lesson time and time and time again with a breakup, or can it vary drastically?
It's really good. As far as the lessons that we learn, and, you know, oftentimes we hear that we repeat. If we don't learn it, we'll repeat it, right? If we don't get it the first time, we'll sort of repeat it. So, yes, clients tend to have a particular way of negotiating being human. You know, some of us are a little bit more outgoing and outlandish and extravagant. Some are a little bit more shy. Certainly, you can see variables. People change and become more awake and a little bit more expressive. But everybody's really trying to find the thing that is going to work best for them. And I think that's the gift of going through a breakup, is it gives you time to stop and be like, wait a minute, what do I actually want?
But sometimes we're afraid to really get the answer to that question. You know, we're so busy as a people-pleasing society. I won't say the majority, some of us. We don't want to, you know, necessarily look internally, it's all external. You know, if I can fix him, or if he can fix her, then everything is fine, and I don't have to do any work on me. And that seems to be the way that a lot of people tend to approach a relationship. You know, they see the guy or they see the girl and they don't like the way that they dress or whatever. Oh, I can work with that. I'll fix them. And the person doesn't even realize that they need to be or even want to be, in quotes, fixed.
It's a great point, and there's a healthy aspect to it, and there's a functional aspect to that, and there's a dysfunctional aspect to that.
Okay.
So females, the energy of the feminine essence, right? Like not necessarily your sex, but just if you're a really feminine person, we are we refine. Feminine energy refines. It's if you look at the Hindu god Kali, she's the destroyer, you know. We come in and we're just all like, fix this, change this, scoot this around. And they say that men marry women hoping that the woman will never change, and women marry men hoping that they will absolutely change.
Change drastically.
So there's nothing wrong with wanting to evolve and grow and you know, refine, have a refinement with a person. It's really about how you go about doing it. If you're trying to nitpick a person into fitting your disposition, that's codependency versus being interdependent and growing because they're different than you. It's totally different grounds. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, it makes perfect sense. You know, I've got to share this at this point. When I was reviewing your book, I kept opening the book, and it would always open to page 50. I don't know why, but it would always open to page 50. And when I review books, I open to three different places. Generally, we'll read, you know, or finish the chapter and then, you know, make up my mind. And as I was reading on page 50 talked about real relationships. And I absolutely love what you have to say about real relationships, because you said because of technology, and I'm paraphrasing, folks, technology has kind of isolated us. And I absolutely love this next one, that our cell phone is our binky. When I read that, I fell on the floor laughing, but, you know, it is so true. And how does our binky, our adult binky, and technology help us or even hurt us, I guess, with forging a true relationship so that we can sustain one instead of bringing someone in, which I think most people can manifest, you know, someone coming in. It's just a matter of working with that energy to see if it's worth holding on to. So how can we get past the binky, and how can we get past the isolation of technology? And you even talk about sex. You talk about porn on the internet, you know, and you can get it any place. So how can we forge true relationships when we have all of this chatter?
There's how much chatter? There's so much noise, just so much noise. And even if you're, because we're all vibrational beings, right? So there's all these radio signals and cell signals and all of this running through our atmosphere all the time. So we feel that like constant irritation. And OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, is like the buildup of that pressure, and then you just compulsively want to release it, right? Just like get something to distract me, escape in, change it. So what I would say, and this is true mastery, is to slow down, because nature, the intimacy, like real intimacy, the intimacy that like that allows you to be vulnerable with your partner, that is like, you know, I lost my job today and someone's like, that's cool, I'll stay with you, or, you know, I'm sick, that's right, I'm going to stay with you, or, you know, I'm having trouble parenting my kids, we'll do this together. That kind of stuff, the stuff that like really anchors you into a healthy, intimate relationship, is slow and hard won. It's not fast. It's not frenetic. It's not like the noise out. It's not the convenience of technology. I think we've traded convenience for intimacy. Intimacy is slow, and it operates with the rhythms of nature. There's always a season. There's always a cycle. There's an ebb and a flow, And we, what happens, because we're so used to being able to have everything be convenient and fast, when there's a hiccup or a disagreement, people are like, well, I'm breaking up with you.
So
we don't stick through it. We don't actually take time to, and I really love this idea of, we don't take time to be in that slow is the new fast if you want your relationship to last.
There you go. I like that. Slow is the new fast if you want the relationship to last. Girl, you should put that to music and have somebody come out on it. But, you know, it's interesting because, you know, today, you know, I think most countries who embrace the energy of divorce seems to be so easy to get. I remember as a child, I was born and raised in upstate New York, and, you know, you just couldn't get a divorce, you know, those days. You know, you had to jump through hoops and figure out why, and counseling, and this, that, and the other. And today, you can get married at 1 and at 133, go get a divorce. Is it because we live in such a drive-through society that we want the gratification of getting what you think you want, and then once you're in it and discovering that it's not what you want, you could just throw it away and pick up something else?
I'm going to answer this in a very, like, global way, and then I'll dial it down to being acute. So there's 7 billion people on this planet. When I was born, there were like 2 billion less people. In my lifetime, humans have proliferated to 2 billion more, right? That's a lot. Mm-hmm. So basically our industries have had to try to keep up by, you know, quick, fast, and in a hurry, like H&M, throwaway clothes, right? Where they're just cheap, chintzy, whatever, grab it, get your fix, and then it's done and it's on to the next thing, to be able to keep up with the billions of people on this planet. So I really think that some of what's happening, why we just like move on to the next thing so quickly, and we're just like these mindless consumers, because we've lost touch with nature, we've lost touch with the slow rhythms, and we've lost touch with being able to develop patience, and that's huge. Like if you slow down, you don't need to like redecorate every year or, you know, get a new lover or improve your lover. It's just like slow down. This is my point in the book. Slow down and really like work on yourself, like find what your calling is, what your purpose is, how the people in your life are supporting that, and the people that aren't, how you can let go of them.
Okay. Well, folks, we're speaking with Rebecca Freedom McClatsky. Her book is Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want. It's available anywhere. You can also check out her website, and that's RebeccaFreedom.com. There's some really interesting stuff on her website, folks, so do check it out. And Rebecca is R-E-B-E-K-A-H, Freedom.com. You know, Rebecca, when I was looking at your website and I was looking at the About Rebecca, I was shocked to find out that your parents named you Rebecca, and in Hebrew, Rebecca is not a good thing.
Yeah, I know. I've gone through several cycles. So basically, Rebecca, as I've researched it, you know, feel free to fact check behind me, I've researched it means liar or deceiver, because she was married to Isaac, and she tricked him into giving the birthright to Jacob instead of Esau. And that from that point on, she was decidedly the deceiver. And which I think it's really interesting, because growing up, I was terrible at lying. I was not good. And I have a almost a fixation on what is the truth. Like, what is true? What's actually true? Is there relative truth? Like, each person has their own truth. Is there absolute truth? Like, I've been studying this my whole life. Mm-hmm. But ironically enough, the way that I've sort of, and this is woven into the book a little bit too, the way that I've managed to survive and get through life is I have a lot of characters. I have a lot of different personas that I put out into the world. So in that way, the name Rebecca, liar or deceiver or trickster, fits. It's like they knew. It's like my parents knew. This one's going to be a handful.
Well, based on what you say about your parents, they had an interesting road to go, too. And, folks, you can check that out at her website, that's RebeccaFreedom.com. But back to the book. Rebecca, in your book, you talk about that the reader will come to understand that what happens to you happens for you. Explain that to me, please.
Well, the first seat you take during a breakup is a victim. How could this happen to me? Like, if you're broken up with, if you're the person who does the breaking up with, oftentimes there's a justification that wasn't, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it is. You know, they might feel a little guilt for hurting somebody, but either way, the relationship came to an end and it can feel really disappointing. Mm-hmm. And then you can feel like a victim, like, oh, God, I always attract the same people. This happens to me. Why me? Why me? Mm-hmm. Well, why not you? like, why are you so special that you get mm-hmm. to not have any heartache in your life, you know, mm-hmm. or any like character building experiences? Like, this is not this. We don't come to Earth for it to be this panacea, to be like, you know, Shangri-La. This is the place that we come and we work out our karma, and we're here to learn, and there's cause and effect. And your choices have consequences. And so, of course, at first we're just like, why me? It should be different. Well, no. Like, it's happening to you. It's happening for you, meaning it's here as your opportunity. Not everybody takes it, but it's an opportunity to grow, which is the whole reason we're on this planet in the first place.
But a lot of people feel that they don't want to do the hard work, that they don't want to grow in that manner. It should be that when the sun is shining and you're sitting at the beach and you're tanning your body, that should be the lesson. Why is it?
Yeah. That's cute, but not so bright. My girlfriend and I were talking today. She does massage and like energy healing. I live in Encinitas. Like, Encinitas area has a lot of healers. Everywhere I've lived, I've gravitated towards like the places that have a lot of like Reiki healers, philosophers, those types of things. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about, you know, what a healer really is somebody who can hold space for another person until that person has the awareness of the work that they need to do. Right. You're not the guru. You're not directing them. You're just holding this gentle mirror to be like, hey, you might want to look at that.
Yeah.
You might want to look at that behavior and choose something. And I really think that the steps take people through that depth of self-examination to be like, huh, yeah, maybe I don't like do the same thing over and over again. Maybe I can choose something else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so can you talk to us, just high level overview of the 12 steps, perhaps just mention what they are and a little blurb about each one so mm-hmm. people have further understanding?
Let's do the rundown. Let's get the 12-step rundown.
Okay.
So, from the beginning, it's let go and forgive. And then trust. Number two is trust your authentic self. Number three, make wise decisions. Number four, face your fears with love. Five, live your purpose. Step six, examine your judgments. Respond with compassion. Step seven, practice humility and gratitude. Step eight, overcome pride and grow forward. Step nine, recognize the strength in your vulnerability. Step 10, maintain your integrity. Step 11, own your power to love. And step 12, create the love you want. So those are the steps. Now the overall, and I'm going to pull from my life. So mm-hmm. like we were talking, I was dating this guy really briefly for 3 months. He broke up with me. And I joked, the universe was just like, hey, you're going to be a breakup specialist. You better remember what breakups are like. Here you go.
Yeah, here's a reminder.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Here's a reminder. Work your steps. You wrote them. Go ahead, work them. Mm-hmm. and so what I would say is, like, I really understand on the core level, like, how much you want that person back that left because of history you've built with them, because of the good times you had, because the things that sometimes we break up and the reasons we break up seem like fixable. They're not insurmountable per se. Mm-hmm. Sometimes breakups really are insurmountable. There's abuse, neglect, like it's horrific and you need to be out of that situation. It's super dangerous. But I just want to say that I get it on the visceral physical level. Like I probably lost like 8 pounds from the breakup, just no appetite, mm-hmm. you know, sleep was crazy. Dreams were crazy. And really, like, I would even go back to some of the words in this book, and I was just like, wow, these are really powerful. Just because in those moments, we need a place to belong. We felt rejection actually physically hurts us. And mm-hmm. and although we'll run to our friends or maybe our family or maybe our spiritual practice, it's like we need a place to be able to come home to. And that's really at the core, the essence of the 12 steps. And I know for me, like, it's my book, and I even returned to it, and I was like, well, this is helping.
Mm-hmm. So, well, it's a wonderful guide for people that are going through the process. And I mm-hmm. think that people forget that it is a process. It just, you can't just snap your fingers and say, okay, well, all those feelings are gone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, if you break your leg, you know, you don't go running the next day.
Most of us don't. No.
Yeah, I mean, you can be a little crazy and like get jacked up on, you know, whatever opiates and try to keep going forward. And a lot of us do that. But breakup is an injury. I want to be. It's a physical, spiritual, emotional injury. It's a time to really step back. And to the point, can we speed up the process? The fastest way to mm-hmm. heal a breakup and to actually have a healthy relationship is to feel your feelings, is to not avoid them, not to distract yourself, but to really be with them. Journal, you know, when I was going through my breakup, I would record myself as if I was talking to the person that I wanted to talk to, and then I'd listen to it back, and I'd just get the energy of that, and that mm-hmm. was healing enough, you know, just like, so yeah, it's a process, and it's one that can go faster if you're willing to feel your feelings. But if you avoid them, then it's just going to probably create more issues in the future.
Okay, well, Rebecca, what happens when we have the breakup and we're like, I just don't want to let them go? I mean, so you finagle your way back into their lives on some level, and then mm-hmm. the relationship starts again, but the same issue is they're staring you in the face, so of course the breakup happens again, and you keep repeating that cycle. I work with a couple of women who have gone through this cycle for 8 and 9 years.
It's on like, again, off again cycle?
Yeah, yeah. But the same person, they're not even open to anyone else in their life. It has to be this particular person. Mm. And that's kind of, I don't even know the word to describe it, but it's nuts.
Well, and then what I love is we'll get online and we'll start looking up what soulmates and twin flames are, and we'll start justifying it, being like, this is my twin flame, and mm-hmm. I got to be, no, just calm down, you know, like slow down with the labeling. Mm-hmm. You know, we could all be each other's soulmates. Soulmates are just somebody who comes into your life that teaches you a lesson, a
right.
deal, you
right.
know, it's not like this, you know, it's not this etheric thing, so. To the point of on-again and off-again relationships, some people, for whatever reason, have a certain threshold of discomfort, right? They're just like, I can't go past this threshold of discomfort. This is familiar. I'd rather stay in the familiar than expand beyond it and into the unknown and to grow. And some people, that's fine. That's just, and they'll repeat those relationships on again, off again. And that'll sort of be the, what I would say from a psychological point of view, is it's the addictive pattern. It's addiction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So basically it's codependency. It's addiction. It's you're trying to like cover the hurt with a person, you know, instead of having a relationship with your higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So It is. It's a little bit of crazy making, but God knows we all have the ability to live whatever life we want, and some of us choose crazy.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting to sit back and watch crazy. I try not to play there too often, but it's actually interesting. Now, in your book, you say once you have the breakup is the end of us and the beginning of me. Mm-hmm. Some people would say that that's a little bit selfish. Why, you know, why focus on the me? Why can't it be the us?
Mm. It only takes one person. It takes two people to make a relationship, two people's yeses to make a relationship, and one person's no to end a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, if you're the person who is the yes in the relationship and the other person is a no, and you just don't let, you will bludgeon them. You'll just try to, like, make them conform into a yes. And so to the point of the end of us is accepting that fact. Listen, baby, you don't want anybody in your life that doesn't want you. You know, if that person standing next to you, doing life with you, is not about it, is not about the yes and building life with you, mm-hmm. then it's time to focus on me, you know? Focus on wanting yourself.
Okay.
And being comfortable with yourself. Yeah.
Okay, so it's not really being about being selfish. It sounds like you're talking about self-care, that
mm-hmm.
we can come from a place of wholeness. We can interact with another person on some level of wholeness. Am I understanding?
Well, I would
that
say
right?
that every time I got broken up with, especially in my younger years, I'd always feel so despondent. You know, I would feel like, oh, damn it, now I'm by myself again.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. I'm tired of me. I'm bored. Bored of me.
Mm-hmm.
But the gift of growing old and going through a lot of different experiences is, like, I don't feel like that now. I'm just like, you know, at the end of the day, if this person sticks around, awesome. We'll have a good time together. We'll grow together. But if they decide to leave my life, I still have me. And I am a dreamer and an artist, and I've been given all these gifts, and I'm a child of God. I still have me. Like, I don't go to bed, like, sad that I'm going to bed with me, or
mm-hmm.
waking up with me, or going to the coffee shop with me. And I think that that really takes time and maturity to get to that place, because most of us feel incomplete without somebody else.
Yeah, and I think that the social media kind of compounds that. Talk to us for a moment about the idea of social media and validation and why some people need it so much.
Mm. It's a great quote that says, comparison is the thief of all joy.
Mm.
Comparison is the thief of all joy. So social media is inherently set up to look at images. And then you start thinking, is because we're social beings, so we're like, is this how I'm supposed to look? Is this how I'm supposed to belong? Am I supposed to have a juicy booty now? Or am I supposed to have abs this year? Or am I supposed to make this amount of money? And we scroll through, and sort of there's an irony to social media, because we're doing it to distract ourselves from being uncomfortable with being with ourselves, right? Being
mm-hmm.
being able to just be still and be with yourself and commune with nature. So we use it as a distraction. But as we're using it as a distraction, we get less embodied and we start comparing ourselves more. So we actually are more depressed, more anxious, sicker, and it's just a sick cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what actually creates healthy, happy relationships is contact, physical, in-person, verbal exchange, taking time out to say, like, if you did about 50% less social media and spent more time actually getting in women's groups or meeting with your girlfriends or joining a church group or whatever, you'd be so much more satisfied.
Mm. So how does long-distance relationships
go ahead.
Play into that?
Well, I'm going to say something a little controversial, but long-distance relationships are built 100% on fantasy.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. They're not real. That's not real.
Okay, why are you saying that? I get it, but for the listener, why are you saying that?
You know, it's just, you can, no, I want to say in two different things. The gift of a long-distance relationship is if you talk every day, you can build an intimacy up through your conversations, you know, a sense of like knowing that person, and it actually can and move the relationship along a little bit slower than if they were, if you're just having sex with them, you know, like right away. So there's a gift in that long distance relationships can sort of slow things down, but you also don't see all the ugly, dirty, you know, like belching and farting and socks on the ground and how they talk to the waiter or waitress. Like, we can show up and be on our best behavior for like a weekend or, and I've been in a long distance relationship where it's just all about like fun and you're so excited to see the person and then there's a peak and then you have to leave and then you have to go back. And it just creates this fantasy world, versus actual real facing reality together, like intimacy. So there's a little bit of an upside is that you create the intimacy through conversation, which is super potent. But the downside is that you never really ground into that true intimacy.
Okay. So then if you don't ground into that intimacy, then nothing can really work, even if you decide at some later date to, I don't know, one of you goes to the other and you try to live it out in real life, real time.
Well, that's a transition. That's certainly relationships, absolutely. Even marriages, people that stay together 50 years, will go through a lot of transitions.
You know,
of having to, yeah.
Thank you for saying that, because I've been married 42 years, some good, some not so good. And people say, oh, you've been together for so long, you just must be the happy couple. And sometimes I'm like, you know, I can look at him and strangle him. And other times I look at him and it's like, you know, I don't know how I found you, you know? So thank you for the honesty of, you know, everything is just wonderful if you've toughed it out long-term, because I found that it's not.
I mean, I've done this work for 5 years as a clinical counselor, you know? And so I really want to say you develop a maturity over the years with somebody, you know, you sort of develop your own rhythm and cycle, but people change and grow. So the 20-year-old you were when you got married is not going to be the same as the 40-year-old. You want different things at that point. And it takes a maturity to have your partner grow with you versus, you know, a lot of people are just like, well, we want different things. Bye. What?
Yes.
What? Yeah, so yeah, relationships go through cycles and rhythms, and again, that know thyself, like again, the steps take you through that. Know who you are, like what things are your true deal breakers. Like I've been in abusive relationships, verbally abusive relationships, and that was part of my learning curve of dating guys that were just, you know, not kind. And so now I can see it a mile away, and that's a deal breaker for me. You know, I don't want to be with anybody that doesn't want to be with me. I don't want anybody who is trying to, like, you know, make me into something other than I am. Like, I want to be in a relationship that where we both are growing together, and that's going to mean growing pains too. So it's just for people to be aware that romantic relationship will feel awesome for maybe, we kind of know this, it's really good, but it's not the measure of your success. Like, getting in a relationship should not be the measure of your success as a human.
Okay, so say we've had a relationship, we've broken up for the relationship, we're looking for a new relationship, but the F word is there, and that's fear. How can we move past the fear so we don't use the other F that's in word that ends in K, ourselves yet again?
I love this question because it just is the conundrum of the human condition, right? Where these infinite souls, infinite, have access to everything all the time, any given moment, or imaginations prove that. In these finite bodies, I use the quote from Aladdin where the genie was like, phenomenal cosmic powers, itty-bitty living space.
Mm-hmm.
So as humans, fear is what keeps us alive. Survival. Oh, there's that fear response. The adrenaline rushes to your system and you fight, flight, freeze, beep or faint, that's how you survive. So fear is very much part of our instinct, our will to survive, our self-preservation. But in relationships, it often, now imagine two people, just imagine this, two people getting together, and the entire relationship is about self-preservation.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, that's it. The other person's just trying to get the goods from the other person. You make me feel good so that I can feel a little bit more successful in life. That's it. It's just a transactional relationship,
mm-hmm.
like swiping credit cards back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Versus a relationship that's at a little bit higher of maturity level where it's like, you know what? I'm afraid your vulnerability, the strength in your vulnerability. I'm afraid, you're afraid, we're all messed up, we've got issues, but guess what? We're going to talk about those issues openly with each other. We're going to seek counseling as needed because, listen, the same mind that creates the problem can't fix the problem. We're going to, educate ourselves. We're going to meditate. We're going to do those sort of things in life that get us out of that self-preservation, that get us out of that fear-based relationship. Takes practice.
Well, it takes practice, and I think it takes strength, knowing your own strength or knowing yourself on some
mm-hmm.
level, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So is it important to be compassionate with ourselves when we have a breakup?
Oh, yes. It's like the time that mercy and grace and compassion are needed the most, because it's hard enough when someone rejects you, when you feel like you just didn't have the chops to keep that relationship going.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard, but it's even more difficult when we reject ourselves, right? When we are self-critical, when we're just mm-hmm. like, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm so stupid to do that. Like, but I just want this person back to make me feel better. Like, deep breaths, deep, deep breaths, and just a lot of compassion every day. I did the best I could. Everything is working out in my favor. The universe has my back. I love the saying, I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Just a lot of that grace and surrender through the process. Absolutely.
Okay, so if you can be compassionate with yourself and, basically, I guess, love yourself on every level, how do you stop the feelings like a PTSD coming in where you're like, oh, my God, you know, how does that come into the breakup rehab arena?
So this is something that I address in the sort of final chapter of Life Beyond Breakup. I say, it's really great that you work these 12 steps. So proud of you. Brave of you to do that. And the next thing may be to reach out to get professional help, like someone that would work with you intuitively to sort of better understand their life path. Someone who works with me, I do the same, same thing to really get professional, mm-hmm. get professional help, Don't stay in your isolated closed bowl system. Reach out and get help from actual experts. And I'll say this much because when I was looking for a counselor to go to, because I knew enough to say like, okay, I'm going through a breakup. I need to go get back in therapy. That's going to be really helpful. Not all counselors are created equal, and it's totally okay to go to a counselor one time and determine if that feels like a good fit or not, because
uh-huh.
You don't just go to somebody and stick with them per se. Like if they might be helpful, but I know that the counselor I went to was a bit more of a band-aid. And then I finally went back to my old counselor that had known me for 2 years, and that created a lot of movement. So, you know, make sure to find the right fit.
Yeah, and you can also combine therapies, so it just doesn't have to be just talk therapy, but find what works for you, I guess, and then just go with the flow, because a lot of times we don't. Well, folks, we're speaking with Rebecca Freedom McCloskey. She's the author of Breakup Rehab, Creating the Love You Want. You can check her out at her website, and that is RebeccaFreedom.com, RebeccaFreedom.com. Rebecca, another F word, forgiveness. Why is that so freaking hard to forgive yourself, to forgive the other person? Why is it so hard?
Well, the allure of the past has such a gravity because we know it, right? We can go back and be like, our minds are interesting that way, and we won't go into the neurology of it, but we know it. We are just like, well, this person does this. It's predictable. We just understand. We don't understand the future, though. It's a scary thing called the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason it's hard to forgive is we'll hold so tightly to the past. We'll just hold grudges. We'll go back. We'll relive it over and over again. Mm-hmm. We'll keep replicating it and throwing it in the future instead of, like, if I say the past is not holding you or another person hostage, you know, any longer. Let go. Like, forgiveness is letting go of the past and really saying, okay, you know what? I'm gonna allow for a new possibility here. I'm going to say I don't have to have control over every single – and plus – God, it's exhausting. Imagine waking up every day and having control over every single thing where you have to be like, okay, lungs breathe, heartbeat, feet walk. You know, you don't have to do that. Your body is automatically doing that. And so forgiveness is being able to just let go of the past, just let it go.
But how do we let it go? Because it's ingrained in our psyche. I mean, it's in our conscious, our subconscious, our unconscious minds. Mm-hmm. How do we let it go?
So one of the techniques that I've really used that has been helpful is to catch feelings, to get really excited about, like, Danielle Laporte's one of my mentors, core desired feelings. So, you know, in the past, we're like, God, I got to feel elated, and I got to feel so much joy, and I had companionship, and that felt so good. Mm-hmm. Well, that time has passed, right? And we lament it because we were like, why can't I go back to that? Well, honey, there's more prosperity in front of you than there is behind you. So call in those feelings. Be like, I want to feel companionship. I want to feel comfort. I want to feel safety. I want to feel abundance. I want to feel prosperous. Like, and then juice those feelings up and just say, like, wow, get excited, because you're like, you know, what other experiences can I have right away that are going to make me be able to feel this? And for me, sometimes it's as simple as going and getting a good coffee and just like, I feel rich, I feel good, I feel excited, you know, I feel elated, I feel turned on. And so that's how you sort of start to get yourself out of that muck of wanting to go backwards and get excited about going forward.
Okay. Forward is always good, but sometimes it's difficult for us to get to that space of moving forward. And having said that, what is your experience personally or with your clients as far as, you know, we talked about the 12 steps earlier. Is there any one particular step that is more challenging than the others, harder to get through?
I think that that's really a personal journey, but as you ask that question, like, what comes up for me is that a lot of us have just that, like, deep desire to be in a partnership, you know, to find that person who will walk through life with us and that we can have a real, like, happy, good, healthy relationship with. And so what I would say is that the steps really, you know, in their own way, they address that desire to say, mm-hmm. like, you can't necessarily control the timing of when that's going to happen or who comes into your life and who leaves your life, but you can make a decision on how you feel about it. You can have more mastery over your internal world. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I would say no step is particularly harder than the other, but they all help to really deal with that, you know, that feeling we feel when we just want what we want when we want it.
Want it now. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Want it now. Yeah. In your book, you talk about the concept of destiny. Are we predestined, like if we live a life with many breakups, is that what we kind of signed up for and we got to learn lessons through that? Or can we, like, end that contract and create a new one?
Oh, this is fun from a psychic perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun one from a, are you destined to live, you know, whatever life you're living? And I can say in a humble position, like, I don't have the full answer for that, mm-hmm. but I do know for me that I've just made the best of the life that I've been living, that I've been given. You know, I certainly, if I were to write the script, I would have not put in, like, oh, parents die in my 20s, and I wouldn't have written in, like, multiple breakups. Like, I wouldn't have written in any of that, you mm-hmm. know? I just wouldn't. I would have just gone, like, I would have taken a completely different route, I think. And so I think that ultimately we live what we live, but the most important thing is how we feel about it and how we choose to approach it.
Okay. Well, we have choice. That's the one thing that we have plenty of here on Earth, and we can make it wise or unwise, and we learn as we go, I guess. Now, when folks go to your website, RebeccaFreedom.com, what are they going to find there?
So when they first get to my website, there is the menu, and I offer breakup rehab. So I offer one week, one month, or 3 month sessions with me to be able to really create a time in a container for people to get the support they need going through breakup. Also, I am launching a breakup rehab book club and a 90-day detox for people mm-hmm. who are getting out of relationships. So there's going to be a lot of support available for people when they plug in with me at the website.
Okay. Now, are you specializing in relationships that have just, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, or is it marriages, or short-term or long-term? Give me the parameters of who you're working with.
Yeah, essentially, if you are going through a breakup, that's who I'm working with. It doesn't matter if it was a one-night stand that, you know, I have clients call me who dated somebody for a month and they're devastated. They're just, you know, they're really wrecked. Or I've had clients who've been married 36 years and got a divorce. And so it's really, I really am like the, what's the right word? The midwife. Then mm-hmm. you get people through the transition of mm-hmm. breakup. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what do you have for, and I find this more with females and males, but I have experienced it with males too. They meet somebody, they go out on a date, and halfway through the date, they're calling you, is he the one? Is she the one? You know, is this going to work out? What words of wisdom do you have for those folks who, I guess they're so needy? I don't really know what the word is for it, but they got to know if that's the person that they're going to spend the rest of their life with, and they really don't know the person's middle name.
Yeah. I think that my favorite answer to this is my producer, my podcast producer, we talked about knowing if somebody's your life partner, because the romantic thing is like, I met them and I just knew that was it. I was like, honey, you don't know shit until I've been married to that person 20 years, 30 years. And you look at them and go, you've been a good life partner. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. you don't know. And you won't, I mean, it's all you know in advance is you want to spend more time with this person. That's it. So making a determination within the first date, the next date, that It's cute. It's fine. Great. It make you feel so bonded and so close to them. But the only way you're going to know is if you do it. do it. Get down the line 30 years. Like you said, you've been married a long time. The only way you know if they're your life partner is, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, they stuck by your side. Then you know. Other than that, it's every day. You're just choosing that person.
Girl, 42 years and still every day choosing that person because sometimes, okay, our time is almost up today, and I do appreciate you being with me, but what pearls of wisdom do you have to leave with our audience today?
The very core of it is just like, slow down, take your time, and learn what they never taught you in school, which is how to be intimate with yourself so that you can have a healthy and happy relationship. Just take the time out to not rush into relationships, but to really like get to know you and the other person and have healthier and happier relationships. And, I can say that because I have not done that, and I have learned the hard way. so I know that for sure the healthy and happiest relationships I have are the ones where I went slow and got to know that person.
Okay, so folks, you've heard it. Now, speaking of heard, give us a little blurb about your podcast, Heard Not Seen.
Sure. We have made it up to episode 56 now. Heard Not Seen.
Yay.
Focuses on... Yeah, love, relationships, and just like my hard-fought life lessons, because like any good mama, global mama, you want to be able to learn the lessons and give them back to the world. So that's my gift to everybody to say like, hey, we're in this together. Again, heardnotseen.com.
Okay, there you go, folks. Check it out because I listen to a couple and you'll like what you hear. I mean, she's honest, open, and, heart-driven, so you'll absolutely like it. Please check it out. Rebecca, thank you very much for being my guest this evening, and to the audience, thank you for being with me as we collectively get over it and get over our breakup with Breakup Rehab. The Divine in Me honors the Divine in You. When you're ready for a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations 30 minutes or longer are offered at a 10% discount if you mentioned the radio show. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make the call. 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light and love to all. Namaste.